Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome into the show, everybody. My name is Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzi Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. I am happy to make this little announcement. Our friend PJ's back. He wasn't feeling well, but he's back today, producing the program. So my audio should be matching my words should be matching my lips at the same time. The audio is not off like it's some dubbed old movie or something like that, where English isn't exactly the first language. But welcome to the program. I am upset. I'm upset more than I thought I'd be about Team USA not winning the World Baseball Classic. I'll be over it in a 24-hour period, most likely. It would have been awesome to see them win, but they took the 3-2 loss to Team Japan in the World Baseball Classic, and I am thrilled, absolutely thrilled with the buzz it was getting on Twitter last night by people locally, friends of mine locally, people in the media locally, as well as worldwide, which, as we talked about yesterday, it has taken the world by storm. The World Baseball Classic has, and you could not have come up with a better ending. I mean, for us Americans, we could have had a better ending, them winning, but just for baseball fans in general, Shohei Ohtani goes up against Mike Trout, two outs, top of the ninth inning, one-run ball game, full count, and Ohtani dials up a couple hundred-mile-per-hour fastballs. Mike Trout can't catch up to it. Japan wins 3-2. Trey Turner, of course, locally, as Phillies fans, we're pretty happy that Trey Turner is Captain America right now, and will forever be, in my mind, and Kyle Schwarber, unbelievable. Takes Yu Darvish almost as deep as he took him in the playoffs this past postseason. Absolutely wild. On the 10th pitch of that at bat, by the way. So Kyle Schwarber was really working Darvish, working him over pretty good, and then ended it with an upper deck home run to right center field. So absolutely incredible game yesterday. Incredible day for baseball. And I don't know if you saw this. Ohtani, while he was addressing his teammates in the clubhouse before going out there on the field, talked about how you can't admire the United States baseball anymore. We all admire them. Speaking as Japanese players, he was saying, we always look at America. We always look at the United States. We always look at those players in the MLB, and we go, they're incredible. They're amazing. They're unreal. Oh, I wish I could play like them. He's like, stop admiring them. Go out there and focus on winning. Stop admiring. Focus on beating them. And sure enough, they go out there and they beat Team USA. But I thoroughly enjoyed the World Baseball Classic, especially as a Phillies fan with JT Realmuto out there, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber. It was absolutely a fun ride through and through. Now, you can't win many games, Major League Baseball, Little League Baseball, World Baseball Classic, if you're 0-7 with runners in scoring position. That's no bueno. That is not going to help anybody, and unfortunately, that's what Team USA was yesterday. They got ducks on the pond. They just couldn't swing the old willow wand, as my old coach used to say back in the day. They couldn't hit with runners in scoring position last night. Both their home runs came courtesy of two Phillies solo home runs. Turner had his fifth home run of the tournament. But yeah, you're not going to knock in runs when they're sitting there waiting to be knocked in. It's going to end up biting in the old behind, and that's what happened in last night's game, unfortunately. But I'm glad people really took it in, people really embraced it, and people had a lot of fun. On the home front in the baseball world, to get away from anything that has to do with the World Baseball Classic, Bryce Harper. We get some great news on Bryce Harper. Now, let's follow the bouncing ball for a second, all right? Larry Boa goes on with my friends John Ritchie and Joe DeCamera, and he says, oh, Bryce Harper, yeah, erase that return date, okay? He's going to come back before the All-Star game. Now, forget about that All-Star break talk. That's a bunch of mumbo-jumbo. Forget about that for a second. He's going to come back sooner. And then Dave Dombrowski goes on the radio and says that you can expect, or rather that you're not going to put Bryce Harper on the 60-day injured list, all right? So Todd Zielecki of MLB.com broke it down, I think, rather easily for the people at home when it comes to when you can expect Bryce Harper to break into the Phillies lineup again. Here's Todd Zielecki, MLB.com, breaking it down for you.
Bryce Harper had Tommy John surgery in November. The Phillies at the time said they hope Harper is back by the All-Star break. Sources told me at the time they believe he could be back sometime in June. Then Dave Dombrowski, Phillies president of baseball operations, said this week Harper will not open the season on the 60-day injured list. And here's what that means. If he opened the season on the 60-day IL, Harper would not have been eligible to be activated any earlier than May 29th. So the possibility exists. Nobody's going to say how big or small that possibility is, but the possibility exists that Harper could be back before the end of May. The way that Dombrowski put it is, listen, we don't have to put him on the 60-day IL. If at some point we need to, we still can retroactive to opening day. But he's like, why close the door when the door does not have to be closed? But all signs so far, all reports so far, is that Harper's recovery from Tommy John surgery is going very, very well.
It certainly seems like it. When I did see the news about him, as Todd's likely just alluded to, that he wouldn't be back till the All-Star break. He wouldn't be back till after the All-Star game, sometime around there, that time frame, that like 2-3 week window, if you will. I thought, this is Bryce Harper we're talking about here. And Bryce Harper is one of those athletes that I always expect that whenever you see the timeline out there, he's going to come in far under. If you're going over or under, if he's going to go past that date or he's going to come in before that, I'm always going the under. I'm always going before because that guy is determined. He's obviously in phenomenal shape. He's a phenomenal athlete. The idea of him returning in May, him coming back and playing in May is nuts to me. Now, I don't know if that means he's going to be ready to play in May, meaning he'll be able to play in the outfield, or he'll be able to be just a designated hitter, or whatever it might be. But I am blown away by that. That is even maybe a week or two before the All-Star game, he'd come back. Maybe that'll be the under right there. But to come back in May is nuts. But then it got me thinking. You're going to be looking at this baseball team with this lineup, with Bryce Harper in it, a month before you thought you were going to have him, a month and a half before you thought you were going to have him. That's insane. Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper starting off every game for you as your 1-2-3. That's a special thing to have. That is a ridiculous thing to have. I got so excited for the idea that we were going to have this fun with the World Baseball Classic. We're going to see members of our team out there representing the United States very well. And then to take that excitement and then roll it right into the season and then think, okay, well, hold on. Don't get too excited just yet because you're going to have to wait until late June. You're going to have to wait till mid-June to possibly see Bryce Harper back in the lineup and see this team reach its full potential as to what they could really be. And then maybe you're going to have to wait for this lineup to gel. Maybe you're going to have to wait for little chemistry things to fall into place. Then maybe the Phillies make a run in the second half of the season to really solidify their playoff chances. But now you might be starting that ball rolling in May. Yeah. I am ready for more baseball. I am ready for a hell of a lot more baseball, and I am ready in particular for Phillies baseball to get underway. And to hear guys like John Middleton talk about addressing the team and talk about how they want to win two more championships and talk about at least two more championships, and hear guys like Larry Boa talk about how this team is going to pull it together and Bryce Harper is going to be back sooner than expected, and then reports come out to just lead you down that path even further than that path of excitement. To see guys like Alec Boehm turning the corner in spring training, see guys like Derek Hall hitting the long ball the way he's been doing in spring training, see even a guy like Scott Kingery who's up for at best a utility position with this team. See guys like Edmundo Sosa hitting the long ball in spring training. Just seeing the Phillies perform at the level that they're performing at in spring training and to watch this World Baseball Classic and get great news about a two-time MVP coming back. If you're not ready for baseball right now, if you don't want more baseball right now, then you're just not a fan of the sport in general. It doesn't get much better than this when it comes to the anticipation building up to a season. What do we got, 8 days? 8 days till we can start talking some real baseball again? It's unbelievable, the lead-in that the World Baseball Classic has given me, at least when it comes to excitement about this Philly season getting started. And it's just around the corner. It is just around the corner. Phillies, that'll do it for Phillies conversation today. Brandon Lee Gouton's going to join the show a little bit later today to talk about the acquisitions that the Eagles have made in the offseason, because I'm going to do some digging here. And Friday morning, I hope we catch up with Adam Kaplan of Inside the Birds. I'm going to get his take on it as well. But I really want to find out here because my instinct was right. According to Brandon Lee Gouton, play spoiler here for a second. When I talked to him yesterday and we taped the interview, the Eagles, I was still trying to piece together whether or not the $17 million in the final year of the supposed offered contract to CeeDee Deuce and his camp was legit. It seemed like it was way too outlandish, even by NFL standards, for how they like to mark up a contract, where they'll backload everything and then they'll just cut them in that third year and not owe them anything. Or they'll sign them to that contract and then they'll restructure in that third year. This seemed way too obvious. This seemed like somebody who didn't know how to do an NFL contract did an NFL contract. If they just had the broad spectrum of how to do an NFL contract, this is how they would do it to the extreme. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. Especially if you're going to be paying your quarterback $1 billion in that second year, or excuse me, that third and final year of this safeties contract, you're not going to have a whole bunch of money guaranteed or paid out, like $17 million, for instance, which, by the way, that $17 million, that's a lot closer to the Jesse Bates money, for instance. You're not going to be paying your safety that money when you have your quarterback making, you know, $50 million as an average annual salary. So that didn't make sense. Brandon Lee Gouton, it did not pass his smell test either. So I want to talk to some experts, people that you know have their sources, people that write about this, and I want to talk to them about what is real and what isn't real. And is it real that the Eagles offered that kind of bogus contract to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to attempt to keep him here in Philadelphia? And did it really come down to the idea of, okay, you didn't take this? All right, we're done and we're moving on. So we'll talk to that. Talk to Brandon Lee Gouton about that. And also, and I explained this during the interview, but I know we post the interview separate, so I make sure I always have it in there, and then I'll try to tell you guys as well. But here's where it comes. Here's what's interesting. Every once in a while, I'll get a little notification. Comments for the show will come up in the YouTube studio app, right, that I try to track the show's progression, viewership, what people are watching from the show, and our social media team that posts that stuff and all that. So I'll try to keep track of it. And every once in a while, I'll get this comment that pops up, and it'll be, how dare you? How could you doubt Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts is the man. And I'm like, what the hell? I didn't even talk about Jalen Hurts today, whatever. And I'll click on it, and it'll come up, and it'll be a clip of Brandon Lee Gouton doubting Jalen Hurts when he was on the show a couple months back. Well, more than a couple months back now. And I'll just laugh and I'll think, oh, wow, I wonder what Brandon, I got to get Brandon back on to explain his side of it, because he was one of the few people that really doubted Jalen Hurts going into the season. So I do ask Brandon Lee Gouton about it. If you remember, which I know a lot of you do, he just didn't think that he was going to take that astronomical step forward. Jalen Hurts wasn't going to take that astronomical step forward. And as we all know, he took an astronomical step forward. I didn't bet against him. I thought he could be the guy. Is Jalen Hurts the guy? Yes, I think he could be the guy. And I didn't think it had to be an astronomical step forward, to be honest with you. I thought he needed some better players around him. He certainly needed to work on his accuracy and all the things that we talked about all offseason. Check, check, check. He checked every box. MVP candidate. So Brandon Lee Gouton does respond to that. But the Eagles did make a signing yesterday. Nicholas Morrow comes over from the Chicago Bears. He had a one-year deal with the Bears. He was with the Raiders previous to that. Last year, he started all 17 games, had 110-plus tackles for the Bears. Very versatile player. I don't know what it means for N'Kobe Dean just yet. Now, here's the good news if you're like me and you root hard for N'Kobe Dean. And you want to see him reach his full potential that you thought he had coming out of Georgia. Morrow's a guy that can play all three linebacker positions in a 4-3 defense. So he's not going to come in and just play middle linebacker. He's going to come in and play outside linebacker. He's going to play Will. He's going to play Sam. So you're going to see those types of the responsibilities for him. N'Kobe Dean is versatile as well, but the Eagles got him to be your middle linebacker. He's got the speed and quickness to play on the outside, but he's also got speed, quickness, and strength to play on the inside as well. So when you compare those two guys and you look at a linebacking core right now that is damn near non-existent considering what the Eagles have right now going into the draft and with free agencies still out there, they don't really have a lot at the position. So they haven't done anything as far as I'm concerned, and we'll get BLG's take on it, but they haven't done anything to push N'Kobe Dean, as far as I'm concerned, aside and say, all right, well, he's not ready to start yet. He's just going to be our special teamer, and we're still waiting to see him break out. This doesn't, I don't think, affect him much. You have a guy like Morrow that comes in here. Like I said, he's a starter. He has that leadership capability as well. He has that versatility gene that the Eagles love so much. And we still have to crack the code on what Sean Desai really wants to do as a defensive coordinator. That's another question that is lingering throughout this offseason that we really haven't had a firm answer on yet. We assume that when we go down the path of an Eagles DC and we talk about what Nick Sirianni likes in his defense and how Jonathan Gannon, according to Nick Sirianni, ran that to perfection and ran that to, crossed every T and dotted every I as far as what the Eagles wanted to do defensively, you assume that there's going to be a lot of that in Sean Desai, but we just don't know. Another disciple of Vic Fangio, but he's also worked under a slew of other defensive coordinators as well. So we'll get into that with Brandon Lee Gowton. But one of the interesting things that I just in reading up on Morrow and what he was able to do, if you read Brandon Lee Gowton's article, which I did before we had him on, it's why I wanted to have him on. He talks about Pro Football Focus giving him a rating of 4.9% for a missed tackle rate. One of the things that drove us crazy in the beginning of the year last year and then the end of the year was missed tackles. Letting guys run all over the place, having opportunities to make a stop at the line of scrimmage, you whiff on the tackle. One of the attributes of Morrow is that this guy does not miss tackles. Only a 4.9%. It's a very good percentage to have as a linebacker, especially for not missing tackles. Love seeing that. Hope we see that a lot, even improve here with the Eagles, and we'll see where the Eagles go in that direction. Let me tell you about my man, Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. For over 40 years, Steven's been in the love business in Philadelphia, helping people fall in love and get engaged. So go to the other corner of 8th and Walnut, check out their amazing, beautiful, dazzling diamond inventory and all they have to offer. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, a perfect price, online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Now, what's the perfect price? Well, while other jewelers are marketing things way up, Steven's keeping them right there, those prices right where they need to be, so you don't have to feel like you need to negotiate, you don't need to haggle, you don't have to have that pressure. The only thing you have to worry about is what beautiful piece of diamond jewelry you want to buy for that special someone in your life. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price, online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Without further ado, let's jump on the Rothman Orthopedics guest line, talk to our man Brandon Lee Gowton about all things Eagles this offseason. Right now, the Rothman Orthopedics guest line from Bleeding Green Nation, Brandon Lee Gowton. What's going on there, BLG?
Happy to be here, Mark.
I want to get so many different people's take on this because I still have yet to figure out how this all went down. Did the Eagles really try to get Chauncey Gardner-Johnson to re-sign here in Philadelphia? And if so, was it as hogwash a contract with $17 million backloaded, whatever? Did they really make a valiant effort to try to bring him back?
I think they definitely made an effort. Clearly not as strong as they could have. You know, there was some buzz out there that they might tag him. That clearly didn't happen. And the contract he got wasn't even anywhere close to what the tag would have been, I believe. Double digit there. Like, we're talking about $10 million above. I think they valued him to an extent. But first of all, the contract that was rumored out there, or not even rumored, put out there by his agency, I just don't think that's an actual, from what people who are smarter than me know when it comes to the cap specifically, have basically said that's not a real structure of a contract that would be like permitted by the NFL. So I don't know exactly what that was about. It seemed like that was more talking about cap space, which doesn't really matter in terms of the player gets paid differently, you know, than how the cap space is structured out. It's more of a team thing, not a player thing to be concerned about. Look, I think they tried, but I think it was clearly at a point where Chauncey Gardner-Johnson valued himself more highly than he realistically should have, because I don't think you can say that taking a one-year deal with the Detroit Lions for $8 million is really the best deal he could have gotten. And I don't see how he's going to go to free agency next offseason and expect to get paid more than when he came off a year where he led the NFL in interceptions and played for a Super Bowl team.
So what do you think the Eagles were willing to go to in terms of that number? Nowhere near Jesse Bates money, obviously, but where do you think they were willing to negotiate there with him?
Yeah, I think one of Howie Roseman's undoubted strengths is having a sense of what the market is. I don't think you've seen the Eagles egregiously overpay players to that extent, like you just mentioned Jesse Bates. And I think Howie clearly read that there wasn't this super lucrative safety market out there. So I think they had a number, $8 million has been, thrown out there. I think something like that would be reasonable. I don't think they were looking at CJ Gardner-Johnson and saying, hey, this is an elite player, we have to keep him no matter what the cost. I can't fault them for that. I don't think he was the kind of player you hand a blank check to. And again, the market has said that is the correct read on the situation. But it's just unfortunate that they couldn't keep him. And they're certainly a worse team without him, because you're just looking at Reed Blankenship and whoever else starting at safety right now. But, it's a long offseason, and they still have some options available.
Last thing on him, and it also crosses way here with Fletcher Cox. The only thing that
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Seems odd to me. It's $10 million for Fletcher Cox, but not willing to go $8 million for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson for CD Deuce. Does that pass your smell test?
I mean, it's a little different, you know what I mean? Because, first of all, I don't love the Cox contract, to be clear. So I'm not going to defend that part. Yeah. I'm not going to say that was an awesome move, because I think the way I put it was like, what impact play do you even remember off the top of your head Fletcher Cox really making last year? And I don't think you can think of too many. Maybe you can come up with one. Can you come up with two? I don't think so without really looking back at it. And even then, so I can't really defend that part of it. I get it, but it's not that simple. Because, they had to do something at defensive tackle, clearly, where they had nothing there. And now you can say, okay, well, they have to do something at safety. And that's true. But they might have liked their options better at safety here. There's some starting caliber players out there, as opposed to defensive tackle, which I think that market was kind of the talent in that pool there was thinning out a bit more.
So Justin Evans, who they brought in, a safety, obviously, you're not looking at him as a guy that the Eagles are looking at to be a starter here.
I think that's kind of like the Andrew Adams signing from, 2021, where you bring him in, you see if he can kind of compete for a job. Why not? You need more bodies at that position, because right now, again, it's Reed Blankenship, it's Kayvon Wallace, it's Andre Chachere, and now you're adding Justin Evans into the mix there. So they simply just needed more bodies, and that's a guy who has some experience. He can compete for a roster spot. It sounds like, the team made it very well known, or at least what I presume to be the team, made it very well known that they are not done adding at that position.
Certainly. And make sure everyone is following Brandon Lee Gowton on Twitter, and make sure you guys are checking out his latest article about, at the time we tape this, at about 4:30 on a Tuesday afternoon. The Eagles' latest signing, which is Nicholas Murrow, comes over here by way of the Bears, was a starter last year. So check out this article. Where do you see him playing on this defense for Sean Desai?
Yeah, he's versatile. He's experienced. He's played at multiple linebacker spots, so we'll see where they feel most comfortable playing him. I think this is a reasonable signing. The fact that the terms weren't leaked out as of when we're recording this, I think kind of speaks to he probably didn't cost a ton. He's stayed pretty healthy in his career outside of the 1 year he missed due to an ankle injury. So, I think it's a reasonable stopgap kind of option. The Eagles needed to sign a linebacker because they lost TJ Edwards and Kaiser White. Is this someone to get super excited about? No, it's not. But again, you can't have a roster entirely comprised of Pro Bowlers, especially when there's a salary cap. So they had someone in here who fills a hole. They can still attack this position in the draft. But clearly, they're just not going to spend significant resources at linebacker. It's just not what they do. And to be fair, that hasn't really worked out for them in the past with some of the guys they've signed, Zach Brown, Eric Wilson, LJ Fort was in there, Corey Nelson. So they're going to hope that Nicholas Morrow is more of the Kaiser White mold than those guys.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to the linebacker position, is this the year that we see N'Kobe Dean step forward and be a starter? What does this signing mean for him, if anything?
It really needs to be because, you know, they're relying on some of these guys like N'Kobe Dean, Reed Blankenship, Jordan Davis, these members of the 2022 draft class who were certainly heralded. And look, you know, I think N'Kobe Dean has an intriguing future here in Philadelphia. At the same time, these guys that walked in free agency, TJ Edwards, Kaiser White, a lot of people might say, well, okay, it's okay. It's okay to let them walk. Well, those are the guys who were playing over N'Kobe Dean last year, so he really needs to elevate his game. I thought he kind of had a suspiciously kind of quiet training camp, but then showed some more promise in the actual game action when we saw him in the preseason games, and then a little bit at some of the end of the blowouts that the Eagles had in 2022. So I'm intrigued by him, but there's a lot to prove.
Mm. What do you know about Sean Desai and his defense and what he plans on bringing here to Philadelphia?
I think one of the most interesting things about him is that he's worked with with a lot of different defensive minds, especially all the time he was there in Chicago with multiple head coaches. You're talking about, you know, Mel Tucker and Vic Fangio and Chuck Pagano, all these different kind of systems, schemes, personalities, preferences. So I think that's kind of interesting, having seen some things maybe that he really liked that worked a lot. Pete Carroll, obviously, I should throw it in there, coming from the Seahawks. So I think being around those guys has some value, and you can kind of take the good things you saw, what you liked about that in here. Now, you know, he only has 1 year of defensive coordinator experience, and that coming with the Bears. So that's something that I think it remains to be seen, you know, how comfortable he is calling a defense and everything. At the same time, Jonathan Gannon had only done that 1 year before coming to Philly. So it's not experience isn't everything, but it's an intriguing hire. You know, you have to consider, too, he couldn't necessarily get the best candidate in theory just because of the timing of, you know, having to do a coaching search right after the Super Bowl. So I think they kind of did the best of what was available.
Do you agree with the philosophy that's come out with the Eagles loved what Jonathan Gannon did so much? Well, first, reports about him possibly getting head coaching money just to stay or to be a DC. Do you think that the Eagles are just going to stay along that path and be the same type of defense schematically?
To some extent, not fully. I think, you know, if they really wanted an exact replica, they could have promoted Denard Wilson to defensive coordinator. And it was kind of my understanding that they had a level of comfort doing that if they had lost Jonathan Gannon after the 2021 season, when there was, you know, a bunch of teams interviewing him then, and there was thought that he might get the Texans job at that time. Didn't work out. They had a level of comfort with promoting Denard Wilson, I believe, at that time. Now, you know, a year later, Denard Wilson doesn't return. So that's kind of an interesting development at that point in time. But I think there are some things when you consider how analytically inclined the Eagles organization is and how we clearly, I think, see influence from above the head coach on the coaching staff. I think there's that's a factor in there. But obviously, there's going to be different players. Sean Desai is going to have his own ideas of how to do things. So, you know, I think there's going to be some kind of, you know, core principles retained, but obviously everyone's going to have their own spin on it.
We still got the draft ahead of us here, and don't feel the need to go to a letter grade unless you feel the need to go to a letter grade. But how are we doing so far? How is Howie Rose been doing in this offseason when it comes to prepping the birds for hopefully another Super Bowl run at least?
Yeah, I think when it comes to grading, you kind of have to measure things up against expectation. I mean, the reality is the Eagles weren't going to keep the entire team. That was not an option to them. It was running the whole team back and keeping everyone. If there was no salary cap, they could have done that, and that would have been great. But that was never going to be the case. And I think making of what they have, what they've been able to do with, you know, that being in mind, they were going to lose coaches, they're going to lose players. I think they've done reasonably well. You know, it's not like they've gone out there and added, you know, star players to the roster, but that's in part because they already have a lot of those guys, especially on offense. And I think, you know, the fact that you're retaining so much of an elite offense from last year, now obviously you lose Isaac Simalo, but hey, you have Cam Jurgens, your second-round pick from last year, who showed promise stepping up into that position at right guard. So, you know, I think that's the big deal. Look, the defense is going to take a hit. You lose Javon Hargrave. You lose Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Those losses can't just be, you know, hand-waved away. But again, there was always going to be some kind of regression. You're always going to lose something. I think it's been a reasonably good offseason for the most part. I'm willing to give them like a B+.
Is it this easy? Brandon, to look at the offseason and say that the guy that they'll miss the most is Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, or is there somebody else you think they'll miss more?
I think it's Hargrave. You know, I think pass rush is so valuable. And look, CJGJ made a lot of great plays last year. I think some of those, just watching some of those highlights recently from last year, were tip passes. And credit to him for making the play on the ball. But my point there is to say there was always going to be some level of regression. He wasn't going to lead the NFL in interceptions, probably, for two straight seasons. I think he's a good player. He will probably have two or three in Detroit because, again, he finds a way to get his hands on the ball. But I don't think you're going to get that kind of level, that 99 percentile level of performance from CJGJ once again. So there was always going to be some drop-off there. But I think Hargrave, missing him in the middle, he's just such a unique interior defender. I don't know how many guys are able to generate pass rush from the inside like he is. So I think that's the bigger loss.
I think you're legally obligated to use the word potential when talking about Rashad Penny and the phrase, if he stays healthy. But let's use those two terms. There they were. Is he going to be an impactful player if he does stay healthy, all the potential, all that stuff? Will he be the most impactful non-drafted player coming in here as of yet?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. He has the potential to be. I wouldn't even say, like, if he's going to get hurt. I mean, I think it's just going to happen. Like, that's the expectation. And I, you know, I certainly don't wish that on him. But there's just no way you can go into this season, like, planning for it not to happen. Just based, again, on his history. Now, you know, maybe you can point to the fact the Eagles have done a better job, especially more so recently, keeping their guys healthy. So maybe, you know, you have some optimism in that regard, but still, you know, this is a guy who just, he's not going to be available, probably, especially if you're going deep into a playoffs. We're talking about, you get to the Super Bowl, 20 games in the season, he's probably not going to be available for all 20. You kind of hope he's available for the most important ones down the stretch and can make a big impact there. You know, I think he did great things for the Seahawks in terms of his efficiency numbers. Now you put him in a spot where, you know, the quarterback is even more of a threat, as a mobile threat, and helps his backfield options. You put him behind this offensive line, best run-blocking offensive line in the NFL. You know, I think he could be, again, I don't think it's crazy to say he has, like, reasonably the best player at his position in the league, kind of upside.
Okay. We're playing Madden now. All right. We're playing Madden. Injuries are off. Who's your number one running back? Is it Kenny Gainwell or is it Rashad Penny?
It's Rashad Penny. Again, I think Gainwell did some nice things down the stretch in the playoffs, but you look at a guy at his frame, you know, he's smaller, he's lighter. I just don't think that's a guy who's going to be able to handle 20 carries per game, especially if we're talking about injuries off in theory.
Right.
Penny has the physique of a guy, I think, who can handle that, although he hasn't to this point. Whereas Gainwell, I think he's, you know, more of a complimentary player.
I know people were making the joke, like, did we sign a linebacker? This guy looks like a linebacker, you know, that joke. And I'm like, this guy looks like a defensive tackle. Like, this guy is just ginormous. To let people behind the curtain for a second here, Brandon, how it works is in the YouTube stratosphere, or the comment section, I do a little comment, a chat check on my show. I do it live, and then I pretty much don't look at the comments. But every once in a while on my phone, I'll get a comment that pops up in my YouTube studio app, right? And it'll be like an angry comment about how I doubted Jalen Hurts, how I hated Jalen Hurts, how I said Jalen Hurts sucks. And I'll click on it and I'll be like, oh no, they're talking about Brandon's interview from when That's we were right. still in the stratosphere of, is Jalen Hurts the guy? So you were one of the few that said openly, you know, I don't think he's the guy. You owned it, you wrote about it, and that's fine. Season later, MVP candidate in the Super Bowl. We've all been wrong. What do you think about Jalen Hurts now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what I don't regret is thinking that, like, the kind of leap that he could potentially, like, what I said at the time was, like, he needs to make a huge leap to go from where he was last year, or meaning 2021, to kind of being what a lot of people described as a potential hopeful Josh Allen cut. Like, that was a big jump to make. And I have to say, I feel like even the people who believed in him most, I feel like he had to even surpass those expectations reasonably. I don't know how too many people were saying, oh, he's definitely going to be the MVP of the league, you know, had he not get hurt at the end in 2022. So I think he was even better than even most optimistic people could have said. So in a way, I'm saying we're all wrong, but obviously I was more wrong than others. And I will kind of look back and kind of think about moving forward is just how much I kind of underrated, you know, things like leadership and then just his pure will to win, which, you know, Nick Sirianni has compared to, like, Michael Jordan. I think in a lot of cases that stuff can be overrated because if you can't play and you have all those things, I don't really know where that really takes you in the end. But if you combine the talent with what he's able to do. And I think, again, it speaks to how special what he did last year. It was not to be as easily expected as what happened. He's clearly blown my expectations out of the water. And, you know, I fully believe I have a tremendous amount of confidence in him moving forward.
I'm going to take that move that you just pulled right there. That's a brilliant move. Well, you weren't optimistic enough about how good he
can. That's right.
That's a brilliant move. I'm going to steal that from you. I'll credit you, but I'm going to steal it. And then finally, last thing, are the Sixers finally getting out of the second round? Is it going to happen this year, BLG?
I mean, no one at all is allowed to even say that, because there's just no good reason to. The Sixers deserve no benefit of the doubt in that regard. Now, that being said, prior to last night, especially, you know, with the loss to the Bulls, I don't think is setting the panic alarm. But I do think that the vibe is changing a little bit here, and we'll see how they finish down the stretch. But I think it's like almost a willing to allow yourself to maybe think they can finally do that. But again, it's like you can't. It's you know, fool me a third time. Like you have to see it to actually believe it. But I really like the way they're trending at this point, is what I'll say.
I am with you 1,000%. At the time we air this tonight, they beat the Bulls in Chicago and they go on that nice little trip and they make us all feel warm and fuzzy again. His name is Brandon Lee Gauton. You know him. You love him. Subscribe, follow, read all that great stuff from Bleeding Green Nation. Brandon Lee Gauton. BLG, thank you so much, brother. Great talking to you as always. I do like that move. I am so stealing that move. Who's the guy that I really did not, I don't like, and I don't know, whoever I have to come out and be openly against, the next time that person proves me wrong, I'm just going to be like, yeah, well, you weren't optimistic enough about him. I mean, I was down on him, but like, you didn't know how good he was going to be either. That's a pretty bold move. I like that. It's a bold strategy there, BLG. Make sure you guys check him out. And all his articles on Bleeding Green Nation. Always a great guy to catch up with. Let me tell you about the great people at Manscaped. Manscaped.com, the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and their skin-safe technology. You'll enjoy their Platinum Package 4.0, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, as well as the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. And they do come, yes, with skin-safe technology that helps you reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. So check out manscaped.com. Use promo code Farzi. Use promo code Farzi for 20% off and free shipping. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you like CBD? Do you use CBD? Do you want to try CBD? You want to switch up your CBD? How about the Freestone Farm CBD at freestonefarmcbd.com? You'll enjoy their tropical tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart-topping 24.1% and Super CBD, which is half Hindu.
Kush.
And 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. And they grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State. Support local, folks. Try Freestone Farm CBD at Freestone Farm CBD. You'll use promo code Farzi for 20% off. Treat yourself. That's right. Freestone Farm CBD, freestonefarmcbd.com. How about PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's phlsportsnation.com. Let's get into the chat check and see how you guys are doing on this fine morning. After Team USA fell in the World Baseball Classic. Sean Gillespie, good morning, Sean. Kevin, good morning. PJ, saying hello to everybody. That's nice, PJ. Welcome back once again. But everyone's saying good morning. Everyone's pleasant. Everyone's nice. Travis, Nicholas Morrow, DJ Khalid said, another one. April, good morning, April. Bruno, what's up there, Bruno? Hey, Farzi, what do you think about the Bijan Robinson news? If you're referring, Bruno, to the Daniel Jeremiah quote where he said, don't be surprised if Bijan Robinson is still there at 30 if the Eagles take him. Don't be surprised if the Eagles take him. I will be surprised if the Eagles take him. I don't think they want a running back in the first round. I think, as we talked about there with BLG, the Eagles first round running back doesn't make a lot of sense. And their big dice roll at the running back position, I think, was Rashad Penny. I think they're like, he's got to be healthy one of these years. And this will be it. That's what I think they're hoping for. that he'll be the number one guy. And what BLG did say, and again, the context was we're playing Madden. Injuries are off. Who's your starting running back? Rashad Penny. Travis, what's going on? CJ doesn't have the passion to stay here when he turned down a long-term deal just so he can get more money, and he blew it up. It blew up in his face. Travis, I agree with you. That's really the way I saw this playing out, or that's the way I didn't predict that this is what would play out. But after all the information gathered, that's what makes the most sense to me. They said they looked at him he looked at the Eagles and said, "Wait, you're not going to give me $64 million? You're not going to give me, what was it, 34 guaranteed for Jesse Bates? You're not going to give me Jesse Bates money? Deuces." And then he shopped around and went, "Oh God, no one's going to give me the Jesse Bates number or money. Eagles, help, please give me more money." And they didn't. And then he went to Detroit. And then he wanted to lie to himself and everyone else that Detroit has as much talent as the 2022 Eagles. I don't think so. Where was I? There. But Travis, most Philly passionate players I see is now, oh wow, Penny and Greedy. My gut says they'll prove themselves as studs this year. I hope so. That'd be nice. Greedy, I don't have a lot of optimism for. I think he's a body more than anything. And Penny has been injury prone his entire career, and good for him that 17 games means the world to him. And I hope he plays 17 games, and I hope he has 1,300 yards rushing, and I hope he bowls over guys and has 15 touchdowns. I just don't see it. I don't see it. Sean Gillespie, CJ signed that contract with Detroit out of spite. Crazy risk. I think some of it had to do with spite. I would say more so along the lines of disgruntled. Just frustrated, threw his hands up in the air and said, "Fine, we'll do this." Morrow is a beast, brick wall tackler for a 6 foot, 225 pound linebacker, Travis. He certainly looks like it. He doesn't look soft, but they're bargain shopping. I think the Eagles, when it comes to the running back position, which is why I don't see them taking a running back in the first round with either of the first two picks. PJ and I were just talking about it during the interview, as a matter of fact. I see the Eagles making a selection at number 10. I see them making a defensive lineman selection at number 10. And then I see a possible A.J. Brown type of situation where the Eagles are either going to do, I think, one of two things with that 30th pick. The Eagles are either going to trade out of the first round for more picks, or they're going to trade that 30th pick to package that for a safety. My buddy Derek Gunn talked about getting Baird there for the from the Titans, who I didn't even realize it because everything in his career, high school, college, everything has been down south. He was born in Philly. I did not realize that. Kevin Baird from the Titans, two-time All-Pro safety. He's going to be 30 years old when the season starts. I wouldn't be shocked if the Eagles packaged that 30th pick for Baird to play safety this year and more picks from the Titans down the line. So I know people are like, "Oh, trade a first-round pick for a 30-year-old safety and picks." I could see that as a possibility, not a likelihood. But I don't see them making a selection at 30. So I see them trading out or trading that pick for a player to play this year. But it's funny, I was looking at a couple different mock drafts this morning before the show, and I think it was CBSSports.com had the Eagles just taking the Clemson defensive line. Just not the Clemson, not just Miles Murphy at defensive edge rusher there, but taking who was their D tackle? Brian Breece. Brian Breece, taking him as their defensive tackle as well. So basically, they're going to take teammates like they did last year with Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean, according to CBS. Even for the Eagles, that might be a little too defensive line heavy for the Eagles there. I see them picking a defensive lineman at number 10. I don't see this as being a sexy draft for the Eagles. I think this being a lineman draft, not really looking at skilled positions until you get to that second round, a little bit later in the draft. Let's see here. Sean, that defense needs to be more aggressive and open to not just relying on schemes, especially when it's not working. Damn, Gannon. Wow, Sean, you got you in your feels again, brother. Yeah, I'd love to see a more aggressive defense, but I also, like, I'm happy that you have guys like Brandon Graham back. I'm happy to at least have Fletcher Cox back. The thing is that Chauncey Gardner-Johnson worked here. Like, it worked. His whatever scheme that's going to be used here in Philly is going to be similar, not exactly, not a carbon copy, but similar to what you did with Jonathan Gannon. And let's face it, when you, whether or not you had Jim Johnson, whether or not you had Jim Schwartz, those two defenses that had a lot of success had a versatile safety at the helm, Malcolm Jenkins and Brian Dawkins. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I'm not putting in the same category of like Hall of Fame level talent or team leadership or anything like that. But in terms of the ability to be versatile, he certainly had that. That's a, I think in today's NFL, you absolutely need that type of versatility. And he did that. I would have loved to see him stay here in Philadelphia. If you're asking me if I want Fletcher Cox or CeeDee Deuce playing for the Eagles defense next year, I want CeeDee Deuce. If you're asking me 1 year, $10 million, who would I rather have given that to, Fletcher Cox or CeeDee Deuce? That's CeeDee Deuce. That's what I'd rather have. Because the Eagles are going to go defensive lineman in the draft anyway, and you got Jordan Davis knocking down the door. And hopefully knocking down the offensive line as well. Travis, what do we learn? There's a lot of positioning there, Travis. Mihai, what's up, Mihai? What's going on? Morning, Mark, and everyone. Anyone going to call Trey Turner T-squared? It's catchy? Nope. I'm not. Mihai, but you can, please, actually, Mihai, only refer to Trey Turner in the chat when we do the chat check. Only refer to him as T-squared. Be like, you know what the problem with the Phillies this week is? T-squared is hitting the top of the order. He's not getting on base. T-squared, what's the problem, man? Please, please do that. Travis, will you smoke a joint in your next show? I don't want to smoke a joint. Mark a smoke a one time. Mark not farewell. Mark not farewell at all. And it wasn't a joint. It was a bong and holy pots and pans. Anyway, thanks to everybody in the chat. You guys are great as per usual. Thank you very much. Let's get into the morning rush brought to you by Sky Motor Cars. SkyMotorCars.com. The 76ers clinched a playoff spot with the Nets losing last night. The Cavs won. Sixers right now are the third playoff seed in the Eastern Conference. They are battling behind the Boston Celtics, unfortunately, in the standings right now. But the Sixers are back at it against the Bulls. Hopefully a revenge game after the double overtime loss at the hands of the Bulls two nights ago. And hopefully the Sixers bounce right back tonight. And all things are right with the world. The Celtics last night were in Sacramento, and just, man, they put up 132 points on the Kings. They won that game 132 to 109. They had themselves a night. Jason Tatum dropped in 36 points for the Celtics last night. But the Sixers right now, a full game behind the Celtics in the standings, with the Celtics winning last night while the Sixers were idle. Flyers, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, 8 o'clock start time tonight in Chicago for the 76ers, so I look forward to that game. The Flyers, how about this? The orange and black, ladies and gentlemen, handling their business with a 6-3 win over the Panthers. They scored 3 goals in 2 minutes last night in the win. They got the 6-3 victory. They're back at it tomorrow night against the Wild as their season winds down. Carter Hart was in net last night for the Flyers, by the way, making 41 saves. Great to see that for the Flyers. As far as baseball goes, here's a little teaser. I started the show all hyped about baseball and the World Baseball Classic, and rightfully so. But here's a little teaser. First off, I'll tell you, for the Phillies down in spring training today, they lost to the Pirates on a walk-off wild pitch, 4-3. Andrew McCutchen had a 2-run home run, I believe it was yesterday. But they lost 4-3. They're back at it today. They face the Rays. They'll be traveling to the Rays. Phillies are 2 games over 500 in the spring, if you're keeping track of the record there. But here's the disappointing thing. So the Phillies start out their season in Texas against the Rangers for a 3-game series. Then they go to New York to face the Yankees for a 3-game series. They start their first six games of the season on the road. So after you have that like one day off in between, which I hate, the day after opening day, I think is the worst day in all of sports. It's the worst day in all of sports because you get all amped up after opening day and then it's like, okay, now hold on a minute. Okay, now start up again. Like I know it's there for a rain delay, weather, whatever. I hate the day after opening day. It's the worst day in sports. So they face the Rangers. They have the day off, and then they have two more against the Rangers, and then they go back to the East Coast, and they face the Yankees in New York before they open against the Cincinnati Reds, where they'll start a six-game homestand, the Reds for three, and then the Marlins for three. I tell you all that to tell you this. You got to wait a week for the Phillies to come home for their home opener after their season opener, which I think sucks. I wish it was a season, a series away and then a series home and get that ball rolling, but you got to wait a full week for their home opener before we can have Bedlam at the Bank, before we can have 4 hours of hell. Maybe in today's baseball, 2 hours, two and a half hours, 2 hours and 45 minutes of hell with the pitch clock now. But yeah, so we got to wait a week after that, but we knew that, but I just had to double check it after last night's World Baseball Classic to see when's the soonest I can get into Citizens Bank Park and take it a Phil's game. And watch Captain America or T-Squared. Trey Turner leading off for this ball club. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, everybody. You guys are great as per usual. We did be checking in with you guys tomorrow to hopefully talk about a Philadelphia 76ers victory over the Bulls. Sixers get back on the winning track. Let's cross our fingers for that. And then whatever good news hopefully leaks out regarding the Eagles and free agency, the Eagles trades, who knows? Talk about all that and more tomorrow. Thanks for watching, everybody. This is The Farzee Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Jim Heider produced the program, did a wonderful job as per usual. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a good one. See ya.